we began talking about, we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We always like to have a scripture. And one of the ones that we like here is Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at it in our discussion tonight. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. And it reads, y'all got your Bibles? Some people know it. Amen. Okay, let's all read it. Online students also, let's look at Romans 8, 26 through 28, and then we're going to all pray tonight. Ready, let's read. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you praise and honor and glory. Holy Spirit, we do acknowledge you, we invite you, and we welcome you. Shatanda rabakishende, alalala mahira boho satanda rabakahaya, alalala mahalala kanda ramayera moho sanda rabakaya, amamamamamamande debediere mosonda rabakaya yehiloka. We're so thankful. Alalala mahashahaya, alalala mahalala kanda ramayera moho sanda rabakaya yehir. We're grateful, Lord God. Alalala mahalala kanda ramakihir. Yede. Alalala mahashanda rabakaya yehir. Amama bababande rebede bokonda rabakahaya. Alalana ramahire boho sanda rabakaya yehir, Lord God. Amabababande reboko shatanda rabakaha. Alalala mahaya. Alalala mahaya. Alalala mahaya yehiri mesi. Alalala maulala kanda ramahir. Alalala mahalala kanda ramayara mahusanda rabakaya. Alalala mahalala kanda ramakihir. Amamanda rebohoya. Alalala mahire me sanda rabakahaya. Alalala mahalala kanda ramayara mahusanda rabakaha. Amamamamanda rebede. Ama mama mande de bedede. Adanda da bakisha haya. Alalala mahaya yehilo God. Alalala mahalala kanda rama yera mahusanda rabakaya. Ama baba bande de bede lo God. Alalala mahalala kanda rama yera mahasanda rabakaya. Ama mande de behil. Ododoya. Alalanda da bahilo God. Ama mama mahashihi. Ora masahaya. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We are continuing chapter 4. We are looking at biblical principles for effective prayer. You will recall on last week we began looking at the Father. We looked at some of the names of God. We came up with 12. We're not sure that this is the 12 that the author was talking about, but we got 12. He said 12 and we found 12. Amen. We began talking about the name of Jesus on last week, and we said that the name of Jesus, we looked at Philippians 2:9, wherefore God had also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. And then we got a little ahead of ourselves and we started talking about that blank check. And we're gonna hopefully get to that, tonight with our author. Amen. We talked about salvation. I'm going over a couple of things. These are some things I want y'all to to remember. And we said that salvation is not just going to heaven, like so many of us thought, you know, for a long time. We thought it was, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. It's more than that. We looked at the Greek word, which is soteria, and that's the word for salvation. And it includes healing, deliverance, protection, prosperity, strength, and security. And then the author used a term when he was talking about God. He says these words represent who he is, talking about God, the living God, who lives in the eternal present. Eternal present. Amen. When the name of Jesus is pronounced with faith, it produces power, because the fullness of the inheritance now in heaven is under the name of Jesus. Amen. The reason why our author says that the name of Jesus has so much power and authority is because he is God. It says all other beings, remember that? We talked about that. All other beings, and we looked at, well, we touched on Buddha and Muhammad. We were talking about flesh and bone, amen? All other beings were only flesh and bone. Jesus is the only one who was 100% God, we said, and 100% man. When we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, it is as if Jesus himself was the one praying and asking. Get a hold of that. When you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, it's as if God is hearing Jesus. Amen? He's not just hearing, you know, we think of, you know, just us. No. Amen? And we're going to be looking at, you know, why did God give... why did God name his son Jesus? And then we're going to be looking at a little bit more about the name of Jesus and helping to build our faith in the name and our faith for using the name of Jesus. Amen? So why did God name his son Jesus? We're back in the book now, okay? Jesus received his name because he humbled himself. He took the form of a servant and was obedient unto death. Amen. In Philippians chapter 2, we looked at verse 9. But if you look at verses 5 through 8, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen? So, you know, we're looking at how Jesus humbled himself. It says, why did God name his son Jesus? You know, that's one of the reasons. It's because he humbled himself. He took on the form of a servant, and he became obedient even unto death, and we're talking about at the cross. Amen? Then another reason was Jesus inherited his name. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, it says that God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed, there it is, heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So Jesus has his name by inheritance, and that God made the world, amen, by Jesus. That's the second reason. And then the third, our author says, Jesus received his name because he was triumphant. Triumphant. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it reads, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus was triumphant. You know, we have to understand that when the kingdom of darkness crucified Jesus, I mean, you know, they thought they had done it. You know, we got him. This is it. This is the end. It's not going to go any further. I've heard apostles say sometimes, if you can imagine all the principalities, all the powers, all the rulers of the darkness, I mean, they were all there trying to keep him in the grave. Can you imagine that? We got him. We're going to keep him in the grave. But then the Bible tells us that God raised Jesus, amen, from the dead. So can you imagine how they must have felt? What they must have, what's going on? You know, we had him in the grave. We had him in the grave. And Jesus triumphantly got up, amen, out of the grave. And so when he did that, he robbed the principalities of their party. Amen. They were having a party. He robbed them. That's what this verse is telling us. That word spoiled, meaning he robbed them. That's what it means. He robbed them of the victory that they thought they had over him. Amen. When he got up. And because he got up, he made it possible for us, amen, to get up. Not just talking about resurrection, but from situations, from circumstances, from sickness, from poverty. You know, we can get up. You know, I like it when Apostle talks about a resurrection. You know, after the third day, there's a resurrection. Right. Amen? In your situation and in your circumstances, this is the way we have to begin to think about it. Right. Amen? Glory to God. So he got his name because he was triumphant. And we want to keep that in mind. He spoiled the principalities. And then when you look in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, you know, as a result of all of that, he says, all power, amen, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He was triumphant. He was triumphant. Now, how can we apply the name of Jesus during prayer? You know, we're talking about prayer. So how can we apply the name during prayer? If you look at John, our author says, look at John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Here we're going back to that name. We're talking about the authority and the power that we have, that God has invested in the name of Jesus. Amen. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this verse, I've heard an apostle explain it. You know, it's not just prayer. This is making a demand, you know, in this one, in John 14, verses 13 and 14. He says, you know, whatever you demand, who are you demanding it of? You're demanding it of the devil, amen? The enemy and all of his principalities and powers. When you make that demand in the name of Jesus, now, not on your own authority, we're gonna look at a few things talking about our own will and our own authority in just a few minutes. He says, then the Father, you know, can be glorified. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. You know, we're talking about applying the name of Jesus in prayer. And as we're reading this, we're also building our faith in the name of Jesus, so that when we use that name, we will begin to understand that name has power, and that name has authority. It's not just a name. Amen? Every time the Father answers our prayer, he is presenting what, and then I put a little slash, who Jesus is. Presenting all that I am. Remember how we looked at I am, you know, before, okay. Jesus becomes everything we need at the moment that we need it. Amen. Everything that we need at the moment that we need it. When we ask in his name, it is again as if Jesus himself was asking the Father. Think about that for us. Amen. It's as if Jesus himself is asking. It's not Joanne. It's not Sally or Sarah or John. It is as if Jesus himself is asking the Father. Amen. Authority in God's name. Our author says that there is salvation in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I want to see. There's some of these I want y'all to look at. Turn to Acts chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 12. So important for you to see this for yourselves. Amen. I can stand up here and I can read it, but it's not the same as you seeing it. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Amen. No other name. We're talking about the name of Jesus, and there is salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are saved in the name of Jesus. Then our author says that there is healing in the name. Hallelujah. Yeah. Acts chapter 3, verse 16. Salvation in the name. Now we're looking at healing in the name. And it says, "And his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." You know, talking about, this is talking about the lame man. Y'all remember that? The lame man. And so there is healing in the name of Jesus. Then over in Mark 16, we see deliverance in the name of Jesus. Mark 16, verse 17. Y'all sleepy or y'all tired? Are y'all sleepy and tired? Amen. I'm just asking. Hallelujah. Are y'all like the cow at the new gate too? That's what it is. Okay. Mark 16, verse 17. Okay, we're talking about deliverance, right? Deliverance in the name. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name," and in my Bible, this is written in red. So Jesus is saying this. "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Amen. Deliverance in the name of Jesus. So that's three things that we see, you know, right there. Salvation, healing, and deliverance. Then he goes on and he says, who has legal rights or authority to use the name of Jesus? Who has the legal right or authority to use the name of Jesus? I heard somebody say, everybody, not everybody. We're going to look at that in just a few minutes. Amen. Every born again believer, that's what I have in my notes. Every born again believer has the right to use the name. Okay. I guess, yeah, we'll be getting a little bit ahead, but that's okay, we do that. Turn to Acts 19. And then we'll go back to John 1 and 12. In Acts 19, we see that not everybody can use the name of Jesus and get results. You know, they can use it, but, you know, will they get results? Well, first of all, have they heard about the name of Jesus? Do they understand the power? Do they understand the authority that's in the name? Do they have faith in the name when they use the name? Okay. Over in Acts chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 13 through 16, and it's talking about the sons of one, is it Sceva? Sceva? Sceva, y'all, okay, y'all know who I'm talking about, huh? Acts 19, let's look at verse 13 through 16. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, that's who they were, took up on them to call over them which had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, meaning that, you know, they decided, well, we gonna use this name. You know, they had to see Paul use the name, so they decided, well, this man here got evil spirits, so we're going to use the name also. Amen? Okay? So the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, look at here, whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Verse 15, and the evil spirits answered and said, look at this. Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? Verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Amen? So you see, not everybody can use the name and get results. You know, born again believers who understand the name, understand the power that God has invested in the name of Jesus, understand that when Jesus says, all power is in my hand, in heaven and in earth, and I'm giving you the right, you believers, you who believe in me, I'm giving you the right to use my name. You know, you gotta have faith in that name. You gotta have faith that when I use the name of Jesus, things are gonna happen. And I think a lot of times that's what happens to us. You know, we say a prayer and we end it with, in the name of Jesus. You know, and we just so casual. You know, you gotta understand that there is power and authority in the name, and that you have been given the right to use that name. And when you speak that name, you're speaking power and authority. Remember, you know, when you have that understanding and you have that faith in the name of Jesus, it's as if God is saying, that's Jesus talking to me. Amen. You know, that's not Jerry. That's not Sally. That's Jesus. Because that's who he hears. You know, he says, yeah, that's one of ours, using the name of Jesus. And then, you know, Jesus says, and I'll do it. You know, whatever you ask, I'll do it. Amen? And then we go back to John 1 and 12. But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. Amen? So sons of God have the legal right to use the name of Jesus. Then our author goes on and he begins to explain to us the difference between authority and power. He says the Greek word for authority is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. You know, what is authority? And it means a legal right or legal rights delegated to exercise dominion and lordship. You know, one of the examples I've seen when they've been explaining this authority, they said, think about a policeman who's dressed in his uniform and he has his badge and he has his gun. In and of himself, the policeman, when he raises his hand to traffic, he does not have power to stop a Mack truck. You understand? He doesn't have that kind of power. But when he raises his hand, that driver of the Mack truck, he's going to stop. Because he recognizes the uniform, he recognizes the badge, he recognizes the gun. Amen? That this policeman has been given delegated authority to control the traffic. Amen? All right. But now, God has granted every born-again believer legal rights or legal power to exercise authority and power in the name of Jesus. Yeah. We have it. You know, when we say to Satan, stop, amen, he's supposed to stop.
Amen. Amen.
What has happened, we have not understood the authority and the power that God has given us in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Sometimes we even use the name, but we don't have the faith in the name. We haven't heard a lesson like this, amen, talking about the name of Jesus. Oh, we heard it, but maybe we didn't receive it. And so we have to pray, and we have to ask the Holy Spirit, you know, help me, give me a revelation of the name of Jesus, so that when I use the name of Jesus, I'll be using it with power and with authority. Amen? The name of Jesus. Our author defines power. He says, it is the divine ability to accomplish anything. And I put in parentheses, in line with God's word. Amen? So when I think of divine ability, I immediately think of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It comes from him, through him, to us. Amen. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus has authority in three places: in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And I always like to talk about heaven, and there are three heavens. Amen. You know, we never knew that. There are three levels. Our author calls them levels of heaven. He says the first level is what we see outside with physical eyes. Amen. That's a heaven. He says, then the second level is where the stars and the planets are found. The third level of heaven is where God lives. Amen. Yeah, the third heaven. So, you know, what we see right here with our physical eyes, what's in the sky, the planets, the stars, and then beyond that is the third heaven. In Philippians 2 and 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. So we're seeing here that the name of Jesus has authority in three worlds. Amen. Three worlds. All levels of heaven. All levels. Amen. Then here on earth and then under the earth. Amen. Glory to God. Now, the author gives some examples of some testimonies of individuals who have used the name of Jesus. I want you to read those on your own time. It's in chapter 4, and he gives about five or six of them. I'm only going to talk briefly about two of them. The two that he gave by Smith Wigglesworth. And, you know, and what I saw in this example, you know, he was saying that, you know, the man died, and that Smith Wigglesworth was led to raise this man from the dead. You know, and we have talked about perseverance. You remember that way back in the beginning, persevere in prayer. He says that, he got there and he used the name of Jesus and he raised the man up. The man was dead. He took his hand and he literally raised him up and, I don't forgot what he said. I'm not going to say be healed. But he used some words in the name of Jesus. And the author said the man fell to the floor. You know, he was still dead. He said, then he did it the second time in the name of Jesus. And then he loosed him and the man fell to the floor again. But on the third time, he raised this man from the dead. Now, history says that, Smith Wigglesworth is a man of God who raised several people from the dead. And in the author's examples of these testimonies, we see where he even raised his wife. I don't know where she was when she died, but he told him to bring her home. Bring her home, and he prayed over her. And she told him it was her time. But he raised anyway. he raised anyway, and she had an opportunity to give the testimony of being raised from the dead. And he gave these as examples of individuals who believed and had faith in the name of Jesus and was able to do all these things. And I do encourage y'all to read them. Why? Because then it helps to build faith, your faith in the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay, so how can you develop this faith that I'm talking about in the name of Jesus? It says, there is power in the name of Jesus. When you begin, your prayer life will change drastically when you begin to exercise your faith in the name of Jesus. Y'all mighty quiet. Your prayer life will change drastically when you begin to exercise your faith in the name of Jesus. Amen? Your faith. It's all about your faith. How can you develop your faith in the name of Jesus? Acts 3:16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. We read that. Whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. We're talking about developing faith in the name of Jesus. I made a little note to the right in Galatians 2:20. Turn there because it's not in your book at this point. We're talking about developing faith in the name of Jesus. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, there we go, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? So, we as believers can live by Jesus' faith. Amen? The faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? And this is where the author started talking about the blank check that we talked about last week. Remember, I told you we were getting ahead of ourselves. Every believer has a blank check made out in his name. And he goes on and he says, make a list of the things that you desire and ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Anything that is in line with his word, and these things shall be done for you. And remember, in the beginning of last week's lesson, I gave you some things that I wanted you to tuck under your belt, to hide in your heart, because these are the things that our apostle is teaching us. And these are the things that are so important to our prayer life: grace and faith. Remember that? And even though the author was talking about the blank check, you know, I made the statement, but the deposit was made 2,000 years ago. Remember that? And that's where that grace comes in. And grace says, it's already done. Yeah, yeah. So when you begin to pray, knowing that it's already done, can you imagine how that would change your prayer life? You know, you're not asking him to do it. You know, you're going in there by faith saying, you know, I thank you that it's already done. And I'm believing that I receive. Amen? And so then you begin to pray in the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit will begin to give you instructions and directions. And then you end your prayer. We're going to find out a little bit later on in our lessons. Always end with thanksgiving. Okay? Always end with thanksgiving. Always begin by inviting the Holy Spirit to help you. And that's in our lesson. We're going to be looking at that in a few minutes. Always acknowledge him and invite him to help you to pray. Amen. Be specific. Be specific when you pray. In James, and we're talking about how you can develop your faith. Okay, number one, we said we've been given a blank check, right? Number two, we want to be specific when we pray. Over in James chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. James 1, verses 6 through 8. And it says, but let him ask, talking about in prayer, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, amen, is unstable in his ways. Now, I keep pulling these nuggets that our apostle is teaching us, and I think it's good. I think y'all need to know that, because one of the things that he was teaching us, we were looking at Hebrews 4:12 and 1 Thessalonians 5:23, as well as Romans 12 verses 1-3, and spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And he's beginning to explain to us that we have to have our spirit and our soul and our body lined up as one. So you can see how that, you know, sometimes when we're praying, our spirit, man, our spirit got this thing, we believe in God, and then our mind gets in the way and blocks out or stop the prayer that we've been praying. We begin to doubt. We begin to worry. We begin to have fear, and it's all in our mind, and we're not lining up. Let's see, who used the word alignment? I don't know if it was Apostle or if it was Reverend Gautreau. Talking about alignment. We have to get that spirit, that soul, and that body aligned. You know, we can pray because we pray in the spirit. You can be praying, but your mind could be gone. Your mind could be gone on something else. What I'm going to eat? What I'm going to cook? Christmas coming. What we going to buy? And you just shout out, and gone. Your mind, no. Let not that man think he going to receive anything. Amen. We got to be lined up. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen? You know, and I think when we pray like that, then our prayers are going to become more effective. Amen? These are principles that we must get under our belt. And yeah, you know, your mind, it's going to wander, but go ahead and bring it back. No, Charlie, come on here. Get your spirit, man. Come on back here. You know, we praying. And let's just get lined up. Let's just get lined up so that when God speaks to us in this prayer, you know, we're going to hear him. You know, all three of us. We gonna, why? Because we are lying. We are lying. And, you know, and I can tell you this, like, we're not bragging on Word of Life Christian Center, but we have a strong prayer life. And I think the reason the prayer life is so strong because our apostle, like I told y'all before, his prayer life is so strong. So what has come from him has just come on us. And there are times, you know, we call it pressing in and we call it getting in there. And when we get in there, if we would stop and just pay attention, we are at that moment, it could be just a moment sometime, aligned. Spirit, soul, and body. My mind is just on me praying and hearing and understanding what God is saying to me at this moment. At this moment. Amen? And don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. But you got to be aligned. It says be specific when you pray. And that's what we're looking at. You know, he says a double-minded man. But a man whose spirit, soul, and body is not aligned. You don't think you're going to get nothing. You know, I think that's sometimes how we missing it. You know, we believe in God, but, you know, we're not, when we're praying, we're not, all of us not on the same page. We're not praying, Apostle says, as one man. Yeah. Hallelujah. Number three, we are to approach God in faith. How can you develop faith in the name of Jesus? Approach God in faith. Hebrews 11:6. One reason many believers are unable to develop a strong prayer life without ceasing or discouragement is because they do not experience any physical manifestations when they pray. You know, that's what they're expecting. They're expecting, I got to see something, I got to feel something, I got to taste something, that, you know, it's going to always be. No, sometimes it's when you don't see nothing and you don't feel nothing. That's when you're praying. That's your effective prayer. Amen? And just keep praying. Just keep praying. Remember, persevere. Be persistent. Hebrews 11:6. That's a scripture you really want to get under your belt. Periodically, apostle does ask, how many people know this scripture? This is one he's going to ask. Amen? Hebrews 11:6. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In the margin of my notes here, I wrote the word meditation. Approach God in faith. Spend time with the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. And I also wrote, pray by faith. Not by emotions. Don't worry about how you feel. You know, we all want to feel something, and we will. We will feel it sometime, but you're not going to always feel it. But pray anyway. Amen? And then number four, ask the Holy Spirit for help. As we read in Romans 8:26, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us when we pray. Otherwise, we would be praying on our own strength, amen, independent from God, if we don't ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Now, that's frightening, isn't it? It was frightening to me. The implication is that if we surrender our will when we pray, he will take control of our prayer, and thus our prayer will become effective. We're asking the Holy Spirit to help us, amen. And we're looking to him. The author also said that the Holy Spirit, he helps us, and he gave us a Greek word, and I'll spell it, A-N-T-I. It's in your book, L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Yeah, that sounds like it. Okay, which means, listen to this, we're talking about the Holy Spirit helping, and this means to take the place of one who takes us by the hand, together, with, or against, he says, someone, and I put a slash, something. This indicates that the Holy Spirit takes us by the hand and leads us to the Father in the name of Jesus. He takes our place, and when we pray against our enemy, he guides and helps us. Amen? So, you know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit helping us in prayer, and I think I told you a few minutes ago that we always want to begin our prayer by acknowledging him and asking him for help. You know, ask him to, don't always use a pet scripture when you're praying about something. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a scripture. You know, ask him, and he will. And sometimes it's not going to look like it even has anything to do with what you're praying about. You know, I like to give the example, I'm praying for healing. I mean, life or death situation. I'm praying for healing. And the Holy Spirit speak the word peace. Amen? And you say, oh, my Lord, you know, peace. You know that can't be the scripture. That can't be the scripture. And I found out later. I didn't know then. You know, I found the scripture that, you know, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. That's what I found. And then I found out a little bit later. Do you know that word peace mean wholeness? Yeah. Nothing missing? Yeah. Nothing broken? So that sounds like healing to me, huh? Amen? But I didn't know it at the time. I did not know it at the time. Amen? So, you know, don't. I understand what Apostle is telling us about them pat scriptures. We all have pat scriptures. Scriptures that we want to use every time in every particular situation. No. Check with the Holy Spirit. Ask him to give you the scripture. You know, ask him to show you. Ask him to tell you, and then that's what you pray. Amen? Next week, we will begin to talk about our final exam. So if I forget, y'all remind me. Next week will be the final class before the final exam. So we'll spend some time going over preparation for the exam. Amen? Amen. Y'all be blessed.